This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, what new graduates should know about personal finance. But first, according to the EPA, an estimated 600,000 tons of monitors, 67,000 tons of computer mice and keyboards, and 20,000 tons of mobile devices are disposed of each year in the United States. And just a small percentage of that and other electronic waste or e-waste is recycled. But you can do your part to properly and safely recycle your old electronic products. Starting tomorrow and running through May 17th, PNC, the Cincinnati Reds, and Players for the Planet are joining forces once again with Cohen Recycling and many of Cincinnati's leading corporations for the 6th annual PNC Players for the Planet e-waste recycling drives. And joining us to discuss e-waste recycling are Steve Skelly from Players for the Planet and from Cohen Recycling, Adam Dumas. And you can join the conversation, 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Adam, good to see you this afternoon. Likewise, Steve, good to see you too.
Thank you.
So, Adam, what exactly is e-waste? How much of this are we generating? It just sounds like it's just massive, massive quantities of it.
Well, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
E-waste really is defined as obsolete electronics. So anything that takes a battery or has a cord that is destined for disposal is considered e-waste. It's actually the fastest growing waste stream in the world because technology improves so quickly, devices are turnover, and a lot of people just really don't know what to do with their old equipment.
Yeah, that's a big point. A lot of people don't know what to do with it. Is there a particular item that's the biggest e-waste culprit, computers or TVs or cell phones or anything like that?
I would say TVs and monitors are the big problem child in the e-waste world because they are hazardous. So, I mean, the real problem we're faced with is you have you cited some statistics, but I think by 2016 they're looking at about 91 million tons of e-waste destined for disposal globally.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is a global problem. And to put that in perspective, a lot of people, you know, you hear numbers and statistics, and that really doesn't mean anything to you. We did some quick math, and it's enough e-waste to fill Paul Brown Stadium every day for an entire year. That's how much e-waste is going to end up in landfill if we don't recycle it.
That's a scary visual image, too. I mean, that
filling it up one time, it's a scary image. 365 days is extremely scary.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's all recyclable. That's really the issue. It's all recyclable. And, you know, recycling's a good thing. We should always recycle anything that's recyclable, but especially things that are hazardous. So if e-waste ends up in the wrong place, it has severe negative consequences for the environment and ultimately human health. So it's a global problem, and events like these and awareness are really the start of trying to solve it.
Can you give us a comparison between what things are like today and maybe what they were like 25, 30 years ago and how fast this has exploded?
Yeah, 25, 30 years ago, I don't have any statistics, but I know that the amount destined for disposal in about 2009 was 25 million tons. We're up to about 50-something now, and they're predicting by next year up to 90. So it's growing exponentially. Really, a lot of the issue too is in the developing world. You know, China has over a billion people. They use their own products. They're generating a lot of e-waste on their own. So it is a global issue.
Steve, are we facing a growing wave of e-waste? I mean, is it really that extreme?
Oh yeah, yeah. To go back to what Adam said, this will be our sixth year in Cincinnati, and in 5 years, just here, we have managed to recycle over 384 tons of e-waste.
Mm. Adam, why should we recycle electronics? Isn't it good enough just to dispose of it?
No. Okay. No, not at all. We want to try to raise awareness for people and ultimately get to a point where it becomes taboo to throw away things that are recyclable in general. So you've got a lot of commodities that come out of electronics when they're recycled properly. So, you know, the question is, why do we recycle in general? Mm-hmm. The two reasons I would say are that the earth has a finite amount of resources. So every pound of material that we pull from the earth that we could use recycled material, we're wasting that finite resource. And also landfill space is finite. So anything that goes into a landfill that is recyclable is taking up the space of something that would have to go to landfill. So, and then the second issue, as I mentioned earlier, is e-waste is hazardous. So you've got lead in e-waste, you have mercury, you have cadmium, and a lot of this material is ending up overseas where the precious metal content is harvested, and what's left, the toxic material, is ending up in landfills and ultimately ending up in the water or air in these countries that aren't as regulated as we are.
Steve, is a lot of this just because we don't hang on to things as long as we used to? I remember a time where you kept your TV for 10 or 15 years.
No. I mean, people are buying new TVs almost yearly. I mean, because just to keep up with the new products. I mean, there's a new TV set, a better TV set coming out every year. And as Adam said, that is probably TVs and computer monitors are probably one of the biggest things we want to do to get out of to take off the streets. It's people get their new TVs or computer monitors and they don't know what to do with them. We're giving them an easy way to recycle and to recycle properly. When we started this 5 years ago, we had two goals: get as much electronic waste as we possibly can off the street and out of landfill, and to educate the public. And we feel that's exactly what we're doing right now.
You think people are catching on to recycling e-waste as well as they have with paper, plastic, and glass?
Oh, absolutely. And probably just in the last 5-6 years. I know before I got involved, I didn't know that much about it. Now I know quite a bit about it.
Mm-hmm. I think the fact is that curbside recycling is very prevalent, and people are aware of that. Unfortunately, there's no business model that will work with curbside for e-waste because it's hazardous, and then you have personal data on hard drives and computers, cell phones, that people are not going to leave by the side of the street. So, you know, our vision at Cohen is to make it convenient for people to recycle. We want them to recycle safely, responsibly, but convenience is a big factor. So you can't take e-waste and just put it in your curbside bin. So we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to recycle by having these types of events where we actually go into the communities. We do have locations all over the tri-state area where people can bring e-waste. But a lot of times it's easier if we're in their backyard. So we make it as easy as we can. If they can get it into the car and bring it to the location, we'll unload it.
And Mark, just Adam hit on a real important item there too, is the personal data. All that personal data is erased.
Yeah, that's always been a big concern. Yeah,
people don't have to worry about it. It's easy. Just bring it. It's erased, and we take care of it. And in terms of ease, people will, if you bring your e-waste to us over the next 4 days, you're in and out within a minute. We greet you. We unload it. If you're one of the first 200 cars, we give you 2 tickets to an upcoming Reds game, and you're gone. It's that simple.
So what kind of things are you going to be accepting, Steve?
As Adam likes to say, anything that has a cord.
Okay. Would that include appliances too?
Yeah, we do take appliances. The only thing that we can't take are things that would have sealed container, so anything with refrigeration unit because of the Freon.
Yeah.
So those things have to be decommissioned. But we will take microwave toasters. Traditionally, appliances are more scrap metal, which we take at all of our locations, but they are technically e-waste also.
And Steve, you were talking about the privacy and the security concerns, and I would think that it's probably safer to have it recycled than it is to just outright dispose of it, isn't it?
Yes. Matter of fact, Adam can expand more on that.
Yeah, one of the most common questions we get at these events is what happens to my data, or what happens to my hard drive? Or we often hear, well, I took the hard drive out. So Cohen Recycling, Cohen Electronics, is a fully certified electronics recycler.
Yes.
We have 5 or so fairly prestigious certifications that it took a lot of time and a lot of money to get. They're independently audited by a third party. And what they do is they look at your process from the minute that you take custody of the item to final disposition, which doesn't necessarily mean when it leaves our warehouse. If it goes to our warehouse and ends up at a refiner in Germany, or it ends up at an aluminum smelter somewhere, we have to have audited those facilities to make sure that there will be no negative environmental and ultimately human health impact. So they look at the material literally from when we pick it up till final disposition, as I mentioned. Along the way, data security is a huge part of that. So we have a shredder that shreds hard drives. We also have a 36 bay wiping station. A lot of people are firm believers in reuse these days. So if we can wipe these hard drives to the standards that anybody would adhere to, it's NIST wipe, DOD, all of those kinds of standards, then the drives are able to be reused. However, our general rule of thumb is if we don't have permission for that, we shred them. So we take full responsibility for the information, and I don't think you're going to find a safer outlet when it comes to data security.
You started to give us a glimpse into the recycling of e-waste, what the whole process is like. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. Take, for example, a computer. Let's just say a desktop computer or a laptop. That's made up of all different kinds of commodities, and when it was put together, it was manufactured. Our process is essentially demanufacturing. So we are going to take that desktop computer and take the shell off, take the plastic off, take the steel off. We'll end up with a hard drive, some circuit boards, a floppy drive, a fan. All those things are comprised of commodities. So you have aluminum, you have copper, you have steel, you have plastic, and then you have the precious metal content that is on the circuit boards. That's really where the value is. Commodity prices are down so much, the economics of electronics recycling right now, it's a tough game. Unfortunately, recycling costs money.
Oh yeah, I think that would be one of the barriers to the whole process is the cost.
It is. It's an advantage, I think, for people that are would utilize these events or take advantage of these types of events.
Yeah, is that the case, Steve?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And Steve, tell us some about Players for the Planet, how that got started. That was Chris Dickerson's effort, wasn't it?
Chris Dickerson and Jack Castle started Players for the Planet 7 years ago. And their dream was to use their professional platform to talk about sustainability issues. They recognized that they had the ability with their professional status to get the ear of the public. And they recruited athletes. Jay Bruce here in Cincinnati. Jay has been involved with us for 6 years. He's been at every one of these events, and he's helped us get the word out, and he's helped us get the word out about sustainability. Other players, Drew Stubbs, Ryan Hannigan, Todd Frazier, Marty Brenneman has been very, very big. He came out to one of our events 4 years ago, and was very impressed and has talked about it openly for 4 years now. And he's been a great friend.
So how many professional athletes are involved in this?
I'd say there's probably 40, 50 athletes right now who actively get involved with sustainability issues throughout all sports.
And how much e-waste have you recycled through Players for the Planet? Any idea?
Oh, gosh. It's been a lot. I know Cincinnati.
That'd be fine.
I know Cincinnati over 384 tons. And
well, put that in perspective, though. I mean, last year we had 9 53-foot van trailers.
Trailers,
full,
so. Yeah, 148,000, over 148,000 pounds collected just last year, 148,000 pounds. And another thing that's important, too, is we have donated nearly $60,000 back to the Cincinnati area for sustainability projects, but to the Reds Community Fund and to Green Umbrella.
So people really are responding to this, aren't they?
Oh, gosh, yes. Absolutely. I mean, when we started 6 years ago now, I mean, it was just a little two-day event, and we wondered what would happen. Now we've grown to 4 full days, and the cars are lined up to get in. And it's really been a phenomenal growth. It's been fun to watch, too.
Well, we'll continue our conversation about e-waste recycling, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Joining us to discuss e-waste recycling are Steve Skelly from Players for the Planet and from Cohen Recycling, Adam Dumas. And we're taking your questions at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk with Kevin in Oxford. Hi, Kevin.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a desktop copier. Is that eligible? It does have a cord.
Yes, sir.
Bring it down.
Happy to take it.
I'll see you in the morning.
Thank you, Kevin. So again, the general rule, if it has a cord, you'll deal with it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the only thing to look for would be compressor. You know, so anything that's a cooling unit may have an issue if it's not decommissioned.
Okay. Let's talk with Dave and Amelia. Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome. What's your question?
Just very quickly, I wondered if the collection will accept batteries, not car batteries, but just regular old Eveready Energizer-type batteries.
Okay.
Alkaline batteries are a tough one. They're a cost item. We will accept them as long as you're not bringing a truckload from a business or something. But if they're for personal use, certainly we'll make sure they get recycled.
Adam, do batteries pose a risk of some kind, particularly, say, like lithium batteries?
They do. There's a lot of different kinds of batteries. We could do a whole show on batteries.
Yeah.
The main issue with batteries is you have fire risk. So when you have a lot of batteries that are together, if the terminals happen to touch, it can cause a spark and ultimately end up in a fire. So there's DOT regulations for how you transport batteries. So we have to tape the terminals on all the batteries. That doesn't apply to alkaline, but a lot of the other rechargeable type batteries.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk with Rich in Westchester. Hi, Rich.
How are you, sir?
Good, thank you.
Thanks, Colin, for doing this. I got two questions. One, out of curiosity, of all the pounds that you recycled last year, how much of it is precious metal? And the second question is, what are the dates of the events, the recycling events, and where?
Okay. We'll go over the dates and the events. It
starts tomorrow, right?
Yes.
It does start tomorrow at Colrain, Kroger PNC. We'll give the address.
Yeah, we can get to that, and we'll do that toward the end.
As far as precious metals go, the precious metals in electronics are usually contained in the circuit boards. So chips, processors, memory, something called fingers, which are the connections. There is gold. There is some silver. There is some platinum. The process is that we end up with those circuit boards in a bunch of different packages based on the type of circuit board. They're then shredded and sent to a refiner where the precious metal content is recovered and we are paid for that material based on the assay or the result, the amount of precious metal that's recovered. It's not as significant as you would think, unfortunately, and it takes a long time to get a full container load of circuit boards, but there is some value there.
You know, I read someplace, Adam, it was 1 million cell phones was 50 pounds of gold, 550 pounds of silver, and 20 pounds of palladium. So you're right. It takes a lot of these to accumulate the precious metals.
Yeah, it does.
But that's one of the economic benefits of recycling is that these metals are precious, they're expensive, and you're getting a chance to reuse them. 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. Does recycling those metals, if you do that from e-waste, is that using less energy than, say, going out and mining those metals?
Absolutely. So there's a huge carbon footprint impact, which is... You know, the scientific way to look at it is pounds of greenhouse gas emissions reduced. And I'm not an expert on that topic, but I know that that's what leads to climate change. I would imagine in this audience, in this show, we're not going to have a huge debate on whether that's real or not. I think we can all say that it is.
Yeah.
But greenhouse gas emission reduction is very critical, and recycling in general does that. And again, because of the reduction in mining and other things that you mentioned.
Let's talk with Kevin in Dayton. Good afternoon, Kevin. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi there. I thought it interesting that he just said greenhouse, and I'm thinking anything with green in it these days, it's supposed to be good, but greenhouse gases are actually bad.
Correct.
Yeah.
I have alkaline, rechargeable, and lithium batteries, the small AA, AAA. I'm a mechanic, and I go through a lot of them. That's one question. And I live in Dayton, and we don't have a show on this anywhere. I just happen to tune in and listen. And I'm on the way to drop a lot of these things off, wondering in Dayton, where would something like that happen, who to get a hold of. I know a lot of folks have problems returning batteries to recycling. I don't want to throw them away. I know that you get lead in the landfill, and it takes a long time to decompose. The second question is, I have a few mercury, fluorescent lights, you know, the light tubes. I'm told that they have a drop of mercury in them, and it's not good to throw them away anymore. And my third one is I have a microwave. Our house was about hit by lightning a couple of years ago, and it fried the electronics in it. And the microwave is less than a year old, and it's a big one. It's one that hangs from the ceiling. And You know, I took the steel case off of it thinking I could fix it, and that's not the case. So just it's the innards of the microwave that needs to be taken care of. And
so your question is, can you still get that recycled, I suppose?
The microwave, yeah. That's the biggest question here. Okay. It's taking a lot of space up in the garage. And okay. I leave it out. Is somebody going to take it, but is somebody going to, you know, trash it and throw it away? I'm going to find it in a parking lot somewhere. And I thought the best thing to do is take it someplace that would dispose of it properly.
Well, let's see. What advice do you have there, Adam?
Well, if you're in Dayton, our headquarters are in Middletown, and we do have a retail recycling facility in Middletown. That would probably be your closest option, unless you're closer to West Carrollton, where we also have an operation. All three of those items you mentioned, we will take. The batteries may have a fee associated with them. The mercury bulbs will have a fee associated with them, and you're correct about the mercury there. The microwave we would actually pay for as a scrap item. So depending on the quantities, you may break even, you may come out a little ahead, or you may owe us a little bit of money, but it sounds, you know, relatively speaking, the amount of money you're going to pay to make sure it's recycled properly is negligible. So, that's the right word, yeah.
So, Steve and Adam, give us the rundown. Where is the event going to be taking place? What days? What are the hours?
Well, we kick off tomorrow, Thursday, at the PNC Bank Kroger location at 9650 Coleraine Avenue. Then Friday, we are at the PNC Bank Kroger location, Anderson Township, which is 7500 Beachmont Avenue. Saturday, we're at PNC Bank Kroger Hyde Park Plaza, 160 Pavilion Parkway. This will be our sixth year there. And then Sunday, we are at the Kroger Target Newport Pavilion, 160 Pavilion Parkway in Newport.
Okay, so a four-day event. And is it 7 to 4, basically, hour-wise, or...?
Friday and Saturday at 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Okay. By the way, from what I understand, Tony Singrani is going to drop by for a while on Thursday. And Marty Brenneman and Jay Bruce will drop by for a while on Friday, May 15th. And then on Saturday, May 16th, we're still working on a surprise guest there. And again, Thursday and Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Hyde Park, and then Sunday, the Newport Pavilion, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And there is a link to more information about the recycling drive. You'll find that at WVXU.org. And Steve and Adam, thank you for joining us this afternoon.